Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:40 British Summer Time. Today is June 14th. Today was a relatively steady day on stock markets generally. The Asian indices Hang Seng was down about 1%, a bit more than that. The Nikkei was relatively unchanged, it was only down 18. The ASX is hanging here in the region of the 4,000 area. It really does need to sustain a rally from this level to bolster any kind of bullish hypothesis here. Europe was reasonably steady. Both the IBEX and the MIB, the Spanish and the Italian markets, were up in excess of 1%. The FTSE was down a tad, so was the DAX. We remain in this rather uncertain environment, particularly in the bond markets. But as we approach the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is up 1.25%, the NASDAQ is up 0.67%, the S&P 500 is up almost 0.75%. The Brazilian market is down a tad, Mexican market's up a bit, and the TSX is down a little. US Treasuries were a little bit softer today. The German Bund, which has been falling on consecutive days, reversed an early rally and finished down on the day just a little. UK gilts were up a bit. Gold was reasonably volatile in here today. The low of the day was at $1,609.50. It closed out the day at $1,624, which was just a little bit off the peak of the day. It continues to extend its advance from last week, and it continues to look really quite positive. We're seeing a continued bounce from the $1,500 region. There is a strong likelihood at this stage that we are approaching, or we're in the region of a low for gold, that an accumulation phase following what has been a 9-month process of distribution for gold, and accumulation phase might now be taking over. It is coming up to the 200-day moving average, and it really does need to sustain a move above that trend mean to begin to indicate that demand is really back in the driver's seat beyond the very short term. So it has developed a very short term overbought condition. A little bit of consolidation here in the region of the 200-day moving average wouldn't be at all surprising. But provided it continues to hold above its recent lows and eventually does get back above the 200-day moving average, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The commodity complex was reasonably mixed. Oil was up by about $1.50, but it hasn't rallied by sufficiently to constitute a dynamic move. It continues to look like a steadying following a very swift decline. There's a short-term oversold condition evident in those Brent and WTI crude contracts, but nothing really in the way of upper dynamics that have been held beyond a day. And really, that's what we would need to see, is an upward dynamic and then follow through on a subsequent day. Now, natural gas is very interesting here today. It's up 33 cents. That was on the fundamental picture improving quite a bit for natural gas, in that the supply situation isn't as dire as many had expected. Natural gas posted its largest rally in more than a year when it rallied from $2 to over $3. It encountered resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it's pulled back. It's now found support at a progressively higher level. The size of today's upper dynamic constitutes a very large upward dynamic. It's something that's going to make anyone who's interested in the commodity sit up and pay attention. That's demand coming in at a progressively higher level. We've broken the one-year downtrend, found support at a higher level. It considerably bolsters the case that natural gas is in a bottoming process. If that is the case, then of the considerable number of natural gas plays that have really been pounded over the last year, then if natural gas is bottoming, then they probably represent value, and particularly those in North America that have resources that are on the West Coast or that are in proximity to potential areas from which exports to Asia can take place, because we've had a couple, well, certainly the Sabine Pass export terminal in North America has been permitted. There's likely to be a couple of more before they completely close the door on exports in advance of the election in November, because it is a political hot potato. But exports from North America are going to happen one way or another, because the Canadians are in the process of allowing potentially three different export hubs in British Columbia. So that is going to create a global market for natural gas. And it's certainly cheap. It's oversold in the short term. We're getting a short covering rally coming in here today. And there is every likelihood that this commodity is in a bottoming out process. When one looks at the continuous commodity index, then it is also really quite oversold in the short term. There is the capacity for at least a relief rally to take place. However, it would really need to sustain a move back above the 200-day moving average to begin to say that demand is returning beyond the short term. So in the commodity complex, there's plenty of scope for at least a relief rally, but such has been the technical damage that significantly more than that will be required to really start to indicate that the whole complex is back on the investor radar. But what we are seeing is that commodity stories are now being judged on their individual merits. The John McIntosh's long forecast shortage of old crop corn does appear to be materializing. Cocoa is right up there at the upper side of its range. It looks, I suppose a clear downward dynamic would really be required to question potential for it to sustain an upward break. Coffee is becoming increasingly overextended to the downside. Robusta is a bit stronger than Arabica, but Arabica is becoming increasingly overextended. And the industrial metals have all experienced declines and are back in potential areas of support. Nickel and aluminium certainly stand out in that regard. So we're at an interesting point for the commodity complex. The focus of attention for most investors is probably still going to be Europe. The Spanish spreads over German bunds hit over 550 basis points. That's 150 basis points above where they used to trade prior to Eurozone convergence. So the Spanish problem isn't about to just disappear overnight. In fact, the more those spreads push higher, the greater the likelihood is that there's going to be some form of intervention. Now, if we take out the playbook from the Greek bailout and the Portuguese bailout and the Irish bailout, and when Italian spreads spiked higher in the third and fourth quarters last year, then it was the ECB stepping in to either buy the bonds in the case of Greece, Ireland and Portugal, or the LTRO program in the case of Italy, that really helped to bring those spreads down. And as those spreads continue to advance, the likelihood of that type of catalyst coming through becomes increasingly likely. So whereas people are continuing to focus on the most dire projections and the potential for a rather disorderly outcome from the Greek election on Sunday, what we also have to bear in mind is that the more dire the perception of what could potentially happen, the greater the likelihood is that we're going to finally have some form of substantive action. And that's why when one looks at some of the better performing assets, there is a considerable number of upside key reversals evident on the NASDAQ 100 over last week and into this week, where we're seeing additional follow through. And that's one of the leading markets globally. It's one of the few indices that has been able to sustain a move above its 2008 peak. It's heavily weighted by autonomies, particularly the companies that have strong dividend yields have moved to positions of outperformance. They're finding support in the region of their 200-day moving averages, or they're finding support in the region of previous lows. They formed these upside key reversals, and they're now starting to improve on that performance. So, whereas the majority of investors are looking in one direction, what we are seeing is that there are opportunities presenting themselves. And when we have confirmation that a medium-term low has been formed, we'll be considerably further away from it than we are today. If we look at what happened in 2010 and 2011, we've been in this policy-driven environment. When we've had these corrective phases, they've generally found support and they've been really quite choppy. Well, the S&P has fallen about, I think, 11%. The Nasdaq, perhaps a little bit more than that. The Nasdaq 100 is in the region of its 200-day moving average. It's in the region of the upper side of its underlying range from 2011. It's found at least near-term support. There is considerable potential that it is going to spend at least another couple of weeks ranging in the current region. But provided it holds in the current region, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the medium-term upside. And what we are starting to see is that the shares that have been habitual leaders are already finding support. They're posting upside key reversals. They're pulling away from these potential areas of support. And that's really quite positive. The Europeans are perhaps the most likely to inject liquidity into the global economy. The Chinese are adopting a more targeted approach, but they are also in an easing environment. The Fed has stated that it is willing to do what is required to ensure that the USA remains on a growth trajectory. And it could also be encouraged to intervene as well. So the more dire the news becomes, the greater the likelihood is that we are going to have some form of a catalyst in terms of a central bank intervention. And what we are seeing, if we just look at the pure technical evidence, is that some of the leading asset classes are back into potential areas of support, and some of the leaders within those asset classes are already out turning to positions of outperformance, and that really is quite positive. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.